Imam Ali's multidimensional personality. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you all on one of the most blessed days of the year. Today is the 13th of Rajab, on which God Almighty's symbolic house in Mecca, the Holy Kaaba, came alive as if a spirit was infused into it. It is the day when the most sanctified place on planet Earth became the site of birth, the one and only instance in history of a person who was God's most exalted creation after Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. To be more precise, today we are celebrating the birthday of the Commander of the Faithful, the leader of the pious, the symbol of justice, the epitome of valor, the model of magnanimity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the divinely designated vicegerent of the Seal of Messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Dear listeners, stay with us for an exclusive program in this regard. Allah collected from hard, soft, sweet, and sour earth clay which he dripped in water till it got pure, and kneaded it with moisture till it became gluey. From it he carved an image with curves, joints, limbs, and segments. He solidified it till it dried up for a fixed time and a known duration. Then he blew into it out of his spirit, whereupon it took the pattern of a human being with mind that governs him, intelligence which he makes use of, limbs that serve him, organs that change his position, sagacity that differentiates between truth and untruth, tastes and smells, colors and species. He is a mixture of clays of different colors, cohesive materials, divergent, contradictories, and differing properties like heat, cold, softness and hardness, grief and joy. What you heard is a vividly detailed description of the finest form of creation by God Almighty, that is Adam, the father of the human race. Yet, this is not a passage from God's final revelation, the Noble Quran, or from any other previously revealed heavenly scripture. Then, whose words are these that draw for us the perfect picture of the creation of Adam by the one and only Creator? A good question indeed, since we are on the 13th of Rajab, the day the Holy Kaaba built by Adam when he was sent on earth and rebuilt in antiquity by Prophet Abraham, peace upon him, came alive with the birth in the Sancta Sanctorum of one of the greatest sons of Adam, exactly 1466 lunar years ago. After recounting how Iblis, the genie, was cast out as the Satan from the assembly of the angels, For disobeying God's command to prostrate to Adam, the person who has given such a remarkable description of the first man's creation and the purpose of creation informs us in one of his famous sermons in the book Nahj al-Balagha, "Thereafter, Allah made Adam, peace upon him, dwell in a house where he made his life pleasant and his estate safe, and he cautioned him of Iblis and his enmity. Then his enemy envied his abiding in paradise. So he changed his conviction into wavering and determination into weakness. He thus converted his happiness into fear and his prestige into shame. Then Allah offered to Adam, peace upon him, the chance to repent, taught him words of his mercy, promised him return to his paradise, and sent him down to the place of trial and procreation of progeny." The passages that we recited to you are self-explanatory. We are then informed of the choosing of prophets from the progeny of Adam for the guidance of human societies towards God, truth, salvation, and paradise. And as the peerless person whose birth anniversary we are celebrating today says, "Allah never allowed his creation to remain without a prophet deputized by him, or a book sent down from him, or a binding argument. In this way, ages passed by and times rolled on, till Allah deputized Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as his last prophet in fulfillment of his promise." We are then told that Prophet of Islam, while departing from the mortal world, left behind God's final revelation, the Noble Quran, along with his immaculate Ahlul Bayt, as beacons of guidance for human societies and popularly known as the Thaqalain, or two priceless things. The identity and name of the person who enlightens our minds with such a vast ocean of facts should now be crystal clear to us, because no one else was born in the Holy Kaaba except Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. As the cousin, son-in-law, and divinely designated vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, he was indeed the prime source for the mission of the seal of messengers, as well as the accounts of the prophets of the past, including the reasons for the casting out of Iblis as Satan and Adam's erring that brought him down to earth. But how come he so vividly describes Adam's creation from different forms of clay, to the amazement of scholars and scientists alike, as if he was an eyewitness to the whole process of evolution? It is here that the famous hadith of Prophet of Islam comes to our rescue when he says, "I was the Prophet when Adam was in the state of water and clay." The Prophet also said, "I and Ali are created of the same light." Another hadith says the light of Imam Ali, peace upon him, was created thousands of cosmic years before Adam's creation. Now, it should be clear that Prophet Muhammad, and Imam Ali, peace upon them, were not ordinary humans like the rest of mankind, although they were descendants of Adam. They were, in fact, beings of celestial light that God Almighty created before creating the universe. Here, it will be repetitive to go into details of the miraculous parting of the walls of the Kaaba and their closing moments later on, the 13th of Rajab, to permit Fatima bint Asad, peace upon her, of the monotheist Hashemite clan to enter its hallowed precincts, as she implored the Lord Most High to ease her pangs of delivery. The Arab pagans, who had polluted the primordial house of monotheism with idols, were flabbergasted. They tried to break the door with crowbars, but the locks and the wooden beams held steadfast. 3 days later, the Arab idolaters were again stupefied when the same miracle occurred at the Kaaba as its walls parted and closed to allow Fatima bint Asad, peace upon her, to step out with a radiant boy in her arms. To the further bewilderment of the heathen Arabs, a calm and unperturbed Abu Talib stood at hand to smilingly greet his virtuous wife. Along with him was his nephew, the son of Abdullah, his deceased brother, who gently stepped forward to take into his arms his infant cousin. It was then that the baby boy opened his eyes. As the eyes of the two cousins caught each other, there were smiles of acquaintance on the both faces as if the two were meeting after a period of separation. The sight was indeed dazzling as light mirrored light. The infant moved his lips and seemed to be expressing voiceless words when the elder cousin whispered something in his tender ears. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Ali, Allah has created me and you from His light. He created Adam and put that light into Adam. This light reached Abdul Muttalib and then it split. So I was in Abdullah and you were in Abu Talib. Nubuwwah, that is prophethood, does not befit anyone other than me, while velayat, that is the office of vicegerent, does not befit anyone other than you. Whoever denies your vicegerency denies my prophethood, and whoever denies my prophethood, Allah will throw him down on his nose into the fire. These words are ample proof of the peerless position of Imam Ali, peace upon him. No wonder the Prophet had said, I and Ali are the fathers of this Ummah. This does not mean biological fathers, but it means spiritual fathers, since without faith in these two enlightened personalities, a person is neither considered Muslim or the one who has completely submitted to God, let alone being called a mu'min, or the one who has attained true and perfect belief. This is the reason the Islamic Republic of Iran every year celebrates the birthday of Imam Ali, peace upon him, as Father's Day, in order to make its citizens better fathers for the proper grooming of children as per the guidelines of the Prophet and the infallible Imams. The multidimensional personality of Imam Ali, peace upon him, cannot be described in a brief radio program. He's the person who transcends history and historical developments. He embodied all such excellent qualities as piety, patience, bravery, generosity, magnanimity, modesty, wisdom, knowledge, justice, insight, eloquence of speech, etc., to the extent that mankind will forever remain indebted to him. No wonder the Prophet has said, "Whoever wants to see Adam in his knowledge, Noah in his resolve, Abraham in his prudence, Moses in his awe, and Jesus in his piety, should look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him." The late Christian scholar of Lebanon, George Jorda, has written a series of excellent books on Imam Ali, peace upon him, calling him the voice of human justice. After discussing in detail the thoughts and teachings of the Greek scholars Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, George Jorda has focused upon the dynamics taught to humanity by Imam Ali, peace upon him, and hailed him as the greatest of them all. This Christian writer has written a separate book on the French Revolution, in which he says, "What Imam Ali, peace upon him, taught to mankind over a millennium ago is more elaborate and humanitarian than the liberties and civil rights that emerged in Europe and the West. Imam Ali, peace upon him, formulated such firm rules and presented such solid views for the rights of the human beings and the welfare of the human society that their roots penetrate the depth of the earth while their branches extend up to the sky. All the social sciences which are prevalent at present mostly confirm these views and principles. Although these modern social sciences may be given many names and may be presented in various forms, their object is one and only, that the human being should be protected from oppression, and there should be formed a society which should protect human rights in a better way. A society in which human dignity should be respected and the freedom of word and action should be safe to such an extent that none is hurt." Imam Ali, peace upon him, had clearly understood that it will be very dangerous to divide the people into two classes and to prefer one of them to the other. This will retard the intellects, create malice in the spirits, and introduce oppression and injustice in the judgments and transactions, and all sorts of mischiefs and corruptions will appear. The result will be that ambition for life will die, and the people will become pessimistic and will entertain ill will towards one another. Consequently, the society will be ruined. So long as these two classes exist in a society, a conflict between them is inevitable, and it will involve the loss of many lives." Once again, congratulate our listeners on the birthday of a person who, when he once saw an old Christian begging on the streets, had pension fixed for him from the public treasury after chiding officials for leaving him destitute after he had worked all his life. Before we bid you goodbye, here is a wonderful saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him, which shows his absolute cognizance of God. By Allah, even if I am given all the domains of the seven climes with all that exists under the skies, in order that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching one grain of barley from an ant, I would not do it. For me, your world is lighter than the leaf in the mouth of a locust that is chewing it. What has Ali to do with bounties that will pass away and pleasures that will not last? We do seek protection of Allah from the slip of wisdom and the evils of mistakes, and from Him we seek succor.